from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline. Big day in the NFL. The not-so-final 53, right, Sal? We always talk about the final 53, but there are tweaks to be made, and there are some players, I mean, probably hundreds of players in the NFL that know, you know, the day's not – making it through the day is big, but it doesn't necessarily mean you made it where you need to, because there are going to be, you know, 1,000 guys cut free, and – teams are going to start tweaking their rosters pretty much immediately after that final 53.
It's a great point, Jeremy. Good morning, guys. The final 53 is the final 53 at that moment. That is correct. Like, if you make it, you're on, you know, you could say, I made a 53-man roster. If you're somebody who's, you know, trying to make the club, who hasn't played in the NFL or whatever. But that can be very tentative. You're right. 24 hours later, maybe the team that keeps you, the Bills here, if the Bills claim a player from another team, they may have to release you. You know, they're going to have to make room in some capacity. So, yes, you're 100% right about that. And then the inverse is correct for some players. Sometimes players will get released today. They'll get waived. And a team claims them. And, hey, you know what? I didn't make the Buffalo Bills. Wait a minute. I just made the 53 of whatever team. It can be a pretty big roller coaster of emotions. But your bottom line is right. What we get at 4 p.m. today can definitely change by noon tomorrow, which is when waivers end. And also, of course, over the next several weeks when, you know, just the churning of the bottom of the roster takes place.
And then on the other side, Sal, like, right, guys that get told today, you know, like, you're not on the final 53. I mean, how soon can they be brought back to the practice squad? Does that start happening immediately?
It's a good question, Joe. Let me walk through the mechanics here. So, anybody who's released today, doesn't matter what time of day it is, even yesterday, they go on, if you have not been in the league 4 years, if you've been less than 4 years in the NFL, you go on waivers. So that means teams will then scour that, put in waiver claims. You have the waiver priority list. Now that's going in order of the draft. What pick did the Bills have last year in the draft? What pick did they have?
28. We should know this. Well, they traded down to
28. They traded
see, now,
down.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
They traded down to 32
right,
and then to 33.
Right,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for that. So the Bills will have the 28th waiver priority, right? And it doesn't reset, by the way. So the team with the first pick, I mean, though, who had the first pick in this year's draft, and Rebecca, was Chicago, even though it wasn't their pick, though, right? It was, whose pick was it? It was Carolina, right? So Carolina would be the team with the number one waiver priority. Let's just say they want five guys. They can claim them all. It doesn't like it. You don't get one and then all 32, and then you go back to the order. It's not like a fantasy draft. So they can do it that way. So the Bills don't have a big high priority, but there are always guys out there that maybe other teams don't claim. You put a claim on. That ends at 12 noon tomorrow, to my understanding. I'll have to check to make sure, but generally it's 12 noon the day after waivers. If you are released but you have 4 years or more in the service in the NFL, you can sign with anybody as soon as you're released after 4 p.m. today. Like, you don't have to wait. So you might want to get a jump on that before claims, but teams might not want to do that until all their claims go through. So it's always tricky there as well. So that's the mechanics of that, Joe, to answer your question. We would know by basically tomorrow afternoon if the Bills either lost anybody via waiver claims or claimed anybody. And then once that happens, you can start signing your practice squad because you have to wait for those waiver claims.
One of the things, you know, as you mentioned, losing guys to waivers, we used to use that as a sign the Bills roster was really strong when five guys would get claimed by other teams. And I wonder, Sal, if that number comes down this year. I mean, it could be coincidence either way. It could go up, could go down. But, you know, if we took it as a sign of a strong roster, if that number goes down a bit, I mean, that might be a little bit of a sign as well.
Sure, I think that's fair. because, you know, if we're going to say, man, look at all these guys that got claimed. You had Alex Austin a couple years ago. He picked off Josh Allen in a game. Remember that, right? He was a draft pick by the Bills. They released him. He gets claimed by the Patriots. They had Jack Anderson, an offensive lineman, who got poached by Philadelphia. And then all of a sudden, he winds up on, you know, Indianapolis. There's been guys over the years that this has happened with. There was a guy last year, I think, as well. Was it Broker? Nick Broker, I think, the lineman that they wound up losing. So that has happened. The other thing that's happened, Jeremy, is the Bills and Brandon Bean have traded guys at the bottom end of their roster. That's another sign. If you got a guy that you can trade for, you know, a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick, it's saying, hey, he can't make our squad, but the other team's like, oh, he definitely can make ours. I think that's a sign that, you know, your team is pretty strong. How much of that will we get this year? I don't know. But you're right. Some of it is just all, it's just a fit as well, right? Some teams just need a certain fit, and you got a guy, and you release a guy. I mean, I look at Raheem Blackshear from a couple years ago. Remember when Raheem Blackshear had a nice little preseason? I was kind of really surprised that he was claimed by the Panthers. Not that he had a bad preseason, he had a good preseason, but maybe just the Panthers just needed a running back. Hey, here's a guy. He's a young guy. Doesn't have to be because, you know, necessarily of anything that make the person is, you know, such an incredible player that everybody's clamoring for him, but it just might be that one fit that works out. And by the way, Blackshear's still on the Panthers, so that was a nice move by them. So a lot of those things are happening, and you're right. I think it is a sign, and maybe it's a sign if it goes the other way that it's not quite as strong on the bottom, at least.
The other, you know, they could be on the other end, their other end of this too, Sal, where they trade a pick. They have a lot of assets. Yeah. You know, they have a first, 2 seconds, 3/4 next year. If they, I mean, those are big prices to pay. It's not likely you're going to trade a second round pick today. But the point is they have a lot of picks next year. So if Brandon Bean wants to be active in the trade market for the bottom of somebody else's roster today, or you can, of course, hang on to those picks for the deadline. I'm kind of almost thinking about comparing it to when he said, you know, the offseason is not over yet. The offseason is about to end. You're about to get into the regular season. But the team they are at the end of the year isn't necessarily the team they are at the beginning of the year. Rasul Douglas is a great example of that. So he'll have stuff to play with if in fact, he wants to make changes.
Yeah, and you're right 100% that he has draft assets. And, you know, having that amount of draft capital is really good in a situation like this. If you see somebody out there that you're like, look, that team might be releasing him. We can't claim him because our waiver priority is low. Or, hey, we don't want that person to go to free agent or another team. Let's go get him. You offer a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick. Like, look what the Chiefs did yesterday or overnight or whatever it was. The Chiefs traded for Cam Thomas from the Arizona Cardinals. They gave up a seventh round pick, 24-year-old pass rusher, former third round pick. Like, you know, there could be deals out there to be had, and you trade an asset because you have other assets, but you could also hold on to those assets because when the trade deadline comes, you're going to want to strengthen your team. You know, Brandon Bean loves his draft assets. He doesn't love parting with them, but he will do it. We know that. And if there's a player out there that they target, they feel they can help this team, then we could see something happen by 4 p.m. today where he's trading for a player to come onto this roster.
Do you think, Sal, by the way, just to round out on the rookies and, you know, how it's been in the past, I'm looking, I think it's 3 drafts in a row where they've lost somebody to waivers at the final 53-man roster cut. They had 10 picks this year. I mean, do you think Travis Clayton is different, right, because of the international stuff, but do you think the other 9 maybe all make the team?
Yeah, Travis Clayton is exempt, and he's also, by the way, exempt from the practice squad. So if you if they release him, I do think that he can get claimed. I don't think there's a, you know, nobody's really worried about that. That's going to happen. But once he doesn't go claimed, you know, they can bring him on the practice squad and he's exempt from there. So the Bills will get 17 practice squad players, but he's also been hurt, by the way. So I just wonder if they, you know, if there's anything that has to happen with him there. They did put a couple guys on IR, as you know, yesterday. Get back to your question though. I'm looking over the list. The guy that I thought might not make it, like maybe a while ago, would have been Tylon Grable. I think he might make the team now, guys. He's a offensive lineman from UCF, Central Florida. They've pretty much been using him a lot, you know, as a backup tackle. And I could see him making this squad. So, Joe, to answer your question, yeah, I think that I think everybody is really probably going to make this team. And then Travis Clayton most likely doesn't. And then he gets on the practice squad. Now, with all that, you can't base your decision based on being a draft pick. I know that there's got to be a little bit of that baked in. I understand that. But Brandon Bean has been consistent every year, and I think it holds true because of what you said about how many guys they've released have been claimed. They want to keep the best 53. And just because a guy was a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick, if he's not the better of the 53 over someone else, they're not going to keep him. Now, I think if it's super close, if it's a tie, you probably give the benefit of the doubt to the draft pick because you invested that. It's an asset that you want to see through. I understand that. But I do think that, you know, they've operated and shown that it is about the best 53. It's not about just keeping a guy because he's a draft pick.
Sal Capaccio on the not-so-final 53, but a deadline today, 4 p.m. You know, Sal, if you're to handicap the positions where Bills fans, if they're paying attention, the likelihood of a move, of some sort of, hey, we snagged somebody from somewhere else, what top, do you have a top three positions? Are the answers obvious in terms of what positions might see outside help come in?
Well, I think they still have to evaluate wide receiver based on the injuries. I think this comes down to where is Curtis Samuel, where is Marquez Valdes-Scantling in their timeline? What do you have around the roster that you're comfortable with, whether that's game one, games one and two? As I keep reminding everybody, let's remember the Bills have two games in 5 days to start the season. You know, if you're going to miss anybody for game one, you might miss them for games one and two, right? So that's somewhere I would look and start. But I think it's more circumstantial than anything else. I think they do like their wide receiver group, I think. They're not in the market to go out and trade for some big name. But I think that once you start thinning it out because of injuries, you have to look around and say, like, are we all set? And then, I mean, the trick is there, too. If you do trade for someone and then those guys are back, you know, how does that all work out? So maybe that's an area where they would look, something like that. I wonder about backup quarterback for the same reason. Now, there is a simple fix here. If Mitch Trubisky is out for weeks one and two, you still carry him on the roster, and then you just elevate your practice squad quarterback to be your backup. It's not ideal, but you can do that. But if they feel, A, Mitch Trubisky's injury, B, his play, you know, is just not where they want it to be overall, I wouldn't be surprised if they look and say, is there somebody out there that we can trade for, we can claim to bring in here as a backup quarterback? And then on the defensive side, I still wonder about cornerback. You can never have enough cornerbacks. Joe and I talked a little bit about Kyer Elam yesterday and what his status is, because I think Jamarcus Ingram is right on his heels, if not pass him, for number three. Not that Kyer Elam has been necessarily really bad or anything like that. I think he's had a strong offseason. But he's kind of, to me, kind of plateaued from training camp through preseason. I think Jamarcus Ingram just keeps getting better and better. And I wonder, what is Kyer Elam if he's your fourth corner? And then what about Daquan Hardy? You've been training him outside. And if Daquan Hardy, if they really feel Daquan Hardy can be outside, then we're talking about, that's a fifth outside corner. You know, so I wonder what they look about there. What about at slot, though, then? Are you good there? I think Cam Lewis. So, I mean, that's an area where maybe you could make a move in, or you could make a move out, because I think maybe that just the whole roster itself isn't exactly set on where you need it to be. And of course, there's injuries at safety. You know, the way they've been talking, the way it's been looking, I think they're confident that, you know, Rapp, Edwards, Bishop will all be ready to go, and Bishop and Edwards with their injuries. But you never know if you have to start just thinking about what that looks like here over the next several weeks.
What is the decision that they have to make on Matt Milano today?
Good question again. You guys are great. I'm glad you're asking me these, because people keep asking me questions about this stuff that I don't mind explaining at all, and it reminds me, yeah, and good stuff for everybody else. So the rule's different this year. It used to be that anybody who was placed on injured reserve before 4 p.m. today, it just misses the season. You're out for the season. Of course, you can give an injury settlement later and waive them, but that's a different deal. So anybody who is on injured reserve before 4 p.m. today is just out for the year. They already have a few guys. Tommy Doyle, Shane Bouchiel. They just put Terrell Burgess, Dee Delaney, all on injured reserve. So, yeah, down the road, could they give injury settlements? Sure. But they are out for the year. Well, because of that, you know, you have to then, if you have a guy who's going to be hurt for the first few weeks and you say, look, we just can't hold him on the roster, generally you have to carry the guy through onto your 53, release someone else probably because of it, put him on IR after he makes the 53 so he can come back later, and then re-sign that player that you know, told, hey, we got to release you for a couple days. That's the old Reed Ferguson parking lot cut is how we refer to it. So the decision today is different because you now get two players that you can put on injured reserve today, and you can designate those guys as IR designated to return. Now, you only get eight guys the whole year to do this with, guys. So if you put that designation on someone today, that automatically eats up one or two of your eight to return. So with Matt Milano, if they're really confident he's going to return this year, I think it's a no-brainer. You put him on IR, designated to return. But if you have any trepidation at all, and like, hey, we don't know if he's going to return, I think you got to carry him on the 53, and then you place him on IR, and then at any point he can still come back after 4 weeks. Then you're just saying, okay, we're just making sure, and you know that way if he isn't ready the whole season, we can keep him on IR. But if he is, we can still bring him back. But that goes back to Jeremy's point of this is why it's not the final 53. Yeah. If you do that with Matt Milano and then you put him on IR tomorrow, then you're probably you're adding somebody back to your roster because that'll put you back to 52.
If my fantasy league had this many rules, I would quit. I'm just saying, there's a lot. But that said, Sal, like the Milano thing, there's every reason to expect that the Bills expect that he will return this year. And I also would feel like these decisions are not equal based on the caliber of the player. If it's a bottom third of the roster guy, maybe you're not so worried about if he comes back because that guy's easily replaceable. In the case of Milano, it's one of your five best players. He's going to get the designation to return, right?
Well, he still can, though, if you put him on IR. If you put him on IR tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
The point is, Jared, if you carry him on, if you have a guy make your 53 today, and then you put him on IR tomorrow, you don't have to. The trick is with him. This is why you can just have him set on IR until he's ready to return. Then you put the designation on him,
gotcha.
And then he comes back later in the year anyway. So you can do it that way. I think with Matt Milano, you might want to do that just in case. What if he has a setback in his return? Then you could then he's on IR for the whole year. If you give him that designation today, that eats up one of your eight. If you carry him on the 53 and then you just put him on IR, it doesn't eat up one of your eight until he actually is ready to come back later in the season.
So candidates for one of the eight today would be?
Baylen Spector.
Okay.
So one of the two today, by the way. You can only put two on today,
yeah.
But it would be one of the eight. It would be eight overall for the season you get. You only get eight for the season to return. Whether that's somebody you put on today or somebody you put on in November even. I think Baylen Spector, if you guys go, I did a projected 53. I posted it at Sal Sports. And I did have Terrell Burgess and Dee Delaney both going in IR because I know they both got hurt last week. And it's like, hey, they're probably going to have to IR these guys because now you're getting to the point where people say, why don't you just release them? You cannot cut an injured player. It's not allowed by the CBA. You cannot outright cut. You have to put the guy on IR because that way he can get paid because, eventually for an injury settlement or staying on the team. I think Baylen Spector is a prime candidate for this. I have him on my projected 53 going on IR today as a designated to return. That would allow even Joe Andreessen to wind up making the team. I just don't know where Baylen Spector is in his calf injury. I mean, if he shows up at the facility this weekend and he's super healthy, then they're not going to do that and they have no need. But the fact that he still hasn't practiced here in over a week and didn't play and he was still just kind of doing some rehab on the side on Friday, Thursday, I guess, it tells me that he might be in a position where they would put him on IR today, slap the designated to return tag on him, then they know they can bring him back at some point during the season.
Tyler Bass, I don't know, Sal, is there any conversation here? I feel like the kicker conversation is, I want him cut because I want someone to do better, but any conversation about that means signing someone that's worse. You're just signing someone worse.
Well, also, I think the way the way his contract's set up, I don't think the conversation about him is even, can they cut him? I don't think they can. I think it's more just, do you have any faith at this point, right?
I would say that's more of it, Joe. If Tyler Bass was a second-year player on a rookie contract, I mean, I think there is a conversation going on right now that they're going to go out and look for somebody and say, we just... Excuse me. Sorry, guys. And we're going to go out and look for somebody and say, hey, we have to bring somebody else in. He's not, though. He's a player who signed an extension last year. If you were to release Tyler Bass, it would cost $7 million in dead cap over the next 2 years.
That's tough.
Over four this
That's
year.
That's tough.
You would only save, Jeremy, you'd only save $100,000 this year to do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you trade him, you could actually save some money. But, I mean, at this point, are people trading for Tyler Bass, right? And on top of that, they didn't bring in anybody to be a kicker this year. Like, they brought in a punter. There's been no competition. So you'd have to really believe that, okay, Tyler Bass can't turn it around. I think they really like Tyler Bass and believe he can. But, it's getting to the point where you have to really start questioning that. But then you'd also be bringing in someone you have to have faith in that is going to be better, which you're right. I mean, last week, Cade York gets traded for a seventh-round pick. And I had people tweeting me, wow, why didn't the Bills do this? Well, Cade York, as you said, Jeremy, I mean, he's worse than Tyler Bass. He had a 75% field goal percentage. Why would you give up a draft asset to bring in a kicker who's not even as good as the one you have? And, you know, just because he's different, basically, is why people would do it.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at Brandon McManus as a name that's out on the market. His career field goal percentage is 81%. Bass's is 85%.
Right.
Like, any sort of move about, like, this is the you're gonna ride this train until you have a better idea. But the better ideas, they don't come that easily. I mean, it's free agency or it's a draft pick. They use a draft pick on him. You're just signing someone that's worse than him and hope they have a good year.
Isn't this most kickers anyway, Sal?
Yes.
Justin Tucker is probably one of them. But how many kickers throughout time don't have great years and then once in a while they have a bad year? And maybe Bass will have two bad years or maybe he'll never recover. I don't know. But remember Dan Carpenter? Like, some of these guys, I feel like, are kickers that have really good starts to their careers, and then they kind of taper off, and then a lot of times they come back.
Well, to that point, Justin Tucker, I mean, Justin Tucker's the best ever, right?
Sure.
So
yeah.
Maybe it's unfair to him, but Justin Tucker in 2015 had a percentage of field goals made that was lower than Tyler Bass did last year. Now, it was much more of an outlier because Tucker consistently is in the 90s. There's a 96, a 97. But he had a bad year in 2015 where he dipped all the way to 82, and the next year he made 38 of 39. So, like, I'm not here to tell you that Tyler Bass is Justin Tucker. It just of all the don't make a move just to make a move, that's what this sounds like when I hear people say they want a different kicker. Maybe it would pay off in a short term, maybe, but it's just it's a move to make a move. There's not really any sort of database decision to make out there at kicker.
Right, I agree, and I don't think they will.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So I think they're gonna roll with Tyler Bass here, guys. And you know, people, yeah. I get it. I get from fans every day. We all see it. Like that, people are really worried about it. And I think there's concern from the Bills, but I also think that the Bills believe that Tyler Bass can be the Tyler Bass he was at one point, which is for early in his career. Confidence is a big thing. You talk a lot about it, Jeremy, with the golf swing, and we compare it, and I think that's real. That stuff is real. And unfortunately, he missed his last kick in the preseason, a 51-yarder. And Sean McDermott said, you have to make those kicks, right? We need that kick. He was also 5-for-5 before that, which was good. He didn't have a great camp. I mean, this is just something they're going to be willing to live with here for as long as they have to live with it. And then at some point, if it goes differently, you know, you could always bring somebody in and then keep Tyler Bass on the roster. You probably sign somebody to a minimum. You know, that's another option people don't think about or bring up too much, which is you could bring in another kicker and have two of them. And, you know, until Bass works through what he ever has to work through. And then you just say, hey, it's not ideal. Nobody wants to do it. You're probably not going to do it. The chances are, you know, probably small. But that is something, instead of moving on from and costing you the cap space, that could happen. Yeah, speaking of these kickers that go away and come back and do well, or, you know, their career arcs, you know who comes to mind, Jeremy, for me is Dustin Hopkins. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bills
draft pick.
The Bills drafted Dustin Hopkins in the sixth round in 2013. And he lost his job because he got hurt, and they brought in Dan Carpenter. And Dan Carpenter basically maintained that job. Dustin Hopkins didn't kick for two more years in the NFL. Well, guess what? He's now been in the league for 7 years, and his career field goal percentage is close to 86. And he's been on three different teams. Like, that's a guy like that exactly. Like, Dustin Hopkins went from Washington to L.A., was in Cleveland last year. But I think about a guy like that, too, and you're exactly right about that with kickers.
Real quick, Sal, before we let you go, we talked about quarterback earlier and brought up the hypothetical where Trubisky could be on the team, and even while he's hurt, they could promote a guy from the practice squad to back up. Do you think that would definitely be Ben DiNucci at this point? Could it be Anthony Brown, or do you think, because they already cut him, probably not, or even maybe somebody else that wasn't on the team already?
it's not going to be Anthony Brown, Tamia. You cut him, you released him. Like that's their way of saying thank you very much for playing with us for a week. We really needed you. You know, now at least you have a base knowledge of our playbook if something were to happen. I think that's Ben DiNucci at this point. I think Ben DiNucci's been here long enough the last several weeks. It is possible, though, they see somebody they really like. This happened with Shane Buechele 2 years ago. Remember, now, Barkley was hurt, okay, with that caveat, but they brought in Shane Buechele at that point. They brought him in after he, you know, wasn't on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, you know, basically released him or whatever. He was out there, and they brought him in, and, you know, he winds up being the number three quarterback. So maybe it's possible somebody else is out there, but I think you have to be careful here because if Trubisky is down at all for the first couple of weeks, you don't want to bring somebody in. You have to get up to speed on the playbook for your third quarterback. I think you'd want to have somebody who you want to make sure at least is ready to rock and roll to be your backup the first 2 weeks.
Sal Capaccio. All right, Sal, we'll be tuned in all day today to find out exactly what the Bills do. Do these announcements, these cuts come at 4, or are there some that trickle out earlier, do you think? Usually also we get the players tweeting it before the team announces it. Like a player says, thanks Bills Mafia for the opportunity, on to other things. Like that's generally how this tends to go.
You're going to get some of that today, there's no doubt. Whether that's a player, that's an agent, there's going to be reports from people, you know, you're going to see somebody say, hey, I've learned through a source that this person, you know, is being released and hopes they re-sign with the practice squad, or this person's being released or whatever. That's going to happen. The official announcement from the team, if I remember right, today generally doesn't come until 4 p.m. or maybe even a little bit after that when they kind of put everything together to let everybody know. They have to file everything with the league. That's the other part about this. At 4 o'clock, I mean, I don't know, it could happen earlier, but fans could be sitting there going, where's my list? Where's my list? Where's my list? Well, the league has the list, but Bill's, you know, public relations may not actually put it out until it's kind of finalized with the league and all the paperwork goes through and all that kind of stuff. So at some point, I guess it will come in waves in some capacity, Jeremy, but I think officially from the Bills, they generally, you know, put it out in one bulk later.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the not-so-final 53, but final 53. Jeremy and Joe, when we return, have two things I want to get you. The Chain Gang is back. I've got a hot take on the Chain Gang, as the first down chains aren't going anywhere this year. And something happened in Major League Baseball yesterday, the first time in baseball history. And it goes so far in that I think you could confidently say it will never happen again.
As we go back to the second inning of June 26th, and strike number one as he fouls that back, and that's when the rains hit and shut down the ball game. And so we pick it up as a suspended game for game number one. And now Danny Jansen, a month later, traded to the Boston Red Sox, and here he is behind the plate in a Red Sox uniform and ready to catch the rest of what was his at-bat. Now, the fascinating thing here is, had the count been 0-2, conceivably, he could have caught his own strikeout that would have gone into the book as his K.
I know what you're thinking. Wait.
Wait, what?
One more time? Okay.
Yes.
So, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Danny Jansen is his name.
Okay. Danny Jansen.
He was batting. Game got suspended.
Okay.
He got traded
to the Blue Jays.
To the other team?
To the other team. The other team.
Yeah. So he's traded to the other team.
Or to the Red Sox, excuse me.
To the Red Sox. Then he gets put in the game as a defensive. He caught the at-bat that he started 2 months later. The batter's box looking at pitches. Rain delay. Off. 2 months later, you come back, and now you are catching the at-bat.
Yeah.
Imagine it's one of those cut-ups like MLB.com. Like, oh, give me the recap of this game. All right. And now they just cut it from June 26th to yesterday. And now catching the guy that was hitting a minute ago.
Yeah. He just, like, teleports from the batter circle to the catcher mound.
Would you feel comfortable saying that Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak is 10 times more likely to be beaten than this scenario to happen again?
I don't know about 10 times, but
changing teams and finishing your own at-bat. Not just Not just changing teams in the same game. Not just changing teams in the same inning. The same at bat.
Uh-huh. Probably more unlikely than is it? What was the other version of it? The guy from the Orioles who didn't have a hit for like 80 straight games. Chris Davis had a streak recently.
Right.
Is it more unlikely than that? Well, yes. If it's ever happened in how many Major League Baseball games have there been in history? Like a million? 10 million?
100 million?
100 million.
And there's also the thing that Dalton Varsho, the guy that finished the at-bat, he's on like a 22-game or 18-game like on-base streak.
Uh-huh.
And he struck out, but it doesn't count for him because it's Danny Jansen's at-bat. So Danny Jansen gets another strikeout on his stats, but Varsho's on-base streak is still alive statistically.
That's a sham. You're telling me I didn't even strike out, but I got the strikeout against me? I didn't strike out. I caught the strikeout.
You caught the strikeout. What kind of move would it have been had? What is it if the guy swings and the ball hits the dirt and then you catch it, then the batter can run to first base, right?
And you can tag yourself out?
What if he just decided not to?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I dropped it.
I want to hit.
I dropped it. Guess I didn't strike out.
Yeah, I had incentive in my deal.
That's amazing.
It is nuts. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Ask on Twitter, and you can answer this as well. Read some of the responses. The number one takeaway from the preseason is often how healthy is your team. And for the Bills, it could be worse. I mean, Milano's injury is a big deal. Mm-hmm. The receivers got hurt. The safeties got hurt. But they're generally pretty healthy. I think we're okay with where they are. It could be worse. Could be better. Could be worse. What's the number two takeaway? What is your other takeaway from the preseason? If you have one, and I'll read you some of the spots here, some of the responses, I should say. Mike writes in, the offense is an unknown. We saw almost no Josh Allen or first-team offense. Was hoping to at least get a look at it in a live game setting. It didn't work out that way. Had another one about the receivers. Like, the receivers didn't even get a chance to show us anything. And, you know, that is what it is. I think that is true, by the way. While we can sit here and worry about the receivers, it's not like they got a lot of great opportunities. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman had a couple plays he should probably get back. But outside of that, I mean, what did Curtis Samuel have the opportunity to show you? Shakir showed when he was in there a little bit.
Well, they also had quarterbacks. The receivers couldn't do much because, one, they had Trubisky in there who wouldn't throw the football. And then, two, they had guys in there that just showed up and didn't know the offense really.
Right, right. Exactly. If you had the Josh Allen offensive performance in the joint practice, which wasn't televised. The Bills offense did pretty well there. If you saw that in game two instead of a Trubisky offense, you might feel a little bit different. So I think it's fair to say the receivers didn't get a chance to show much and didn't really show much. More on this. Will Rousseau finally dominate? And will our defensive line be great? Rousseau is someone that this preseason maybe reminded people this is a blue chip caliber prospect. Mm-hmm. If he really becomes who the Bills hope he becomes, mm-hmm. that's a big, big deal. So Rousseau's a good answer. I like that one as well. A lot about the receiver depth on these tweets. And also on backup quarterback being a mess. So.
I have a takeaway that's on the defensive side of the football that I kind of leaned into a little more yesterday looking at some of the numbers on this. Since the preseason has happened, feel like corner is their second best position behind quarterback. Every single corner on this team that is going to make the roster had a great preseason. Even like Sal said, Elam kind of plateaued. You know why Elam plateaued? Because Elam, the whole thing about him is what? That he makes plays on the ball, right? Like kind of a ball hawk a little bit, takes chances. He's going to have some bad plays where he takes penalties, but he's going to also take the ball away. He'll make some picks. He had 40 coverages. He only got targeted 3 times the whole preseason. Like, they never threw the ball at him. So there was never an opportunity in the preseason to throw it at him. So I feel like even he had a good preseason. So I'm looking at their corner room right now and thinking, and if you include nickel with that, with Taron Johnson, like, corner is probably their second best position on the roster, I think.
And this is where I'll say to you, you're telling me Sean McDermott's going to have a good defensive backfield?
Yep. We just ended up here.
Get out of town, right? Yep. We'll see about the safeties. We didn't get to see much of the safeties because of the injuries there. But
yep.
If they have a good defensive backfield, guess what you've got? You got a Sean McDermott defense.
And you've got a good defense, probably.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a big test this year based on who they play.
Oh, my God. The list of receivers that they play? They open with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And then they immediately go to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. And then, man, like, when's the first team they play that doesn't have a good receiver room? Baltimore, maybe? With Zay Flowers? But look at the first month. You play Marvin Harrison Jr., Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, Jacksonville's three guys, fine, and then Houston, who's got three.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got challenges time after time after time after time. It gets a little softer, I guess, later in the year because you get New England a couple of times. And they don't have anybody. They just have rookies.
Yeah. Unless they make an Ayuk trade, which...
Offensively, you just can't... Traded. That's kind of how also I get to corner. Like, corner, I feel like we got to see it. Offensively, like, I just... I don't know that I don't want to even begin to take anything away just because it's so different than having Josh Allen in there. You know, like maybe even past preseasons you could have done a better job at this because Matt Barkley would just throw the football all over the field, right?
Yeah.
Like for a backup, it's close to a gunslinger as a backup as you're really going to get.
Right, and watching these Bills preseason backup quarterbacks was begging them to throw it.
I didn't mention, by the way, I mentioned Trubisky and the guys that didn't play. I didn't mention Buchel in the first game.
Would not throw it.
Just wouldn't throw the football.
Just throw
it. You know, like, okay, I didn't see anything from Justin Shorter in the preseason.
Right.
I also don't know how much opportunity I really had to see him because the ball wasn't thrown that many times, let alone thrown well. So DiNucci's going to be their backup for week one, huh?
Might be.
That's kind of how it sounds.
He's played in the league.
He played one game in the league.
Was it better than Mitch Trubisky's last game?
And he was... That's the other thing about... Trubisky was... Like, the merit of him being the backup, let alone the injury adding into it, the Steelers decided last year he couldn't be their backup. He was the number two. Then he played a little bit and said... we got to put the number three guy in here. And they did that, and they never looked back. And the number three guy, Mason Rudolph, was better than Trubisky. So that's proof right there that a team in the middle of the season decided, yeah, he's not good enough to be our backup anymore. And they decided, let's move on to another guy. Now, that guy had been in the room, but, hey, that's where Joe Milton was a call earlier. Like, maybe they get somebody in the building now thinking, like, me might have to move on from Trubisky if he ever has to play. So let's get somebody ready that might be able to do it.
The answer to that question, Ben DiNucci, like his last time he played was 2020.
In the COVID year?
Yeah. He started one game.
Yep, it was a Sunday night game. a Sunday night game.
Like the Giants or something?
Yes.
I'll find it. I'm sure right after Jerry Jones said that this guy might be better than Dak. Usually what he does. You play one game. He played the Eagles, went 21 of 40 for 180 yards.
Wow.
Ran it five times.
40 attempts for 180 yards?
Yeah, 40 attempts.
Was he at least better than would Carson Wentz have been the other quarterback that game for the Eagles? Is that how far? But it's 4 years ago, right? That's pretty far back.
Yeah.
And then he's been playing in the XFL, and he's been playing over there.
It was Carson Wentz, yeah.
Hey, listen. Carson Wentz, two picks in that game, 123 yards.
Well,
and he didn't really get outplayed.
This still gets to my belief, which...
That's the Chiefs' backup.
I wouldn't worry about backup quarterback. The Bills have released Ben DiNucci as we had this conversation.
Are you serious?
Yes, Adam Schefter. All right.
Okay. Well, there you go. Glad we got it in.
Joe, it's important to talk about things before they happen.
Yes.
Ben DiNucci released. Okay.
44 seconds ago. There
has
it
he
is.
Been told to wait in the parking lot?
Yep.
Well, all the best to Ben DiNucci.
All right, so
go snag that tee time that you had. I'm not making a joke. He said that when they called him, he was supposed to have a tee time. You know, go play some golf.
This still, though, is on track with the scenario that we presented, right? That he would be cut, put on the practice squad, and then he could still be their backup week one.
Possible.
Just being elevated from the practice squad.
There's two positions that I am not, I'm just choosing, whether it's for my mental health, I'm choosing not to worry about because... I think it's a waste of time.
Backup quarterback?
Backup quarterback's one of them. If Josh Allen gets hurt, I think the Bills would trade for a quarterback. Or sign one.
Or be the worst team in football.
They would trade for somebody. Your backup quarterback is not always the guy that's going to go in if you need a quarterback. It's just the way that it works now. So they would trade for somebody. Or whatever. Sign Ryan Tannehill if they felt like they could still make the playoffs. So it depends when it happens. Is it week 10? then you can't trade. The deadline's passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they would just roll with what they've got if they thought they had a good chance. And then the other is kicker. And kicker is the number one way to say this. Like, we talked about it with Sal. If you're mad at Tyler Bass and think you can't trust him, I understand. The other ideas are not better ideas.
Right.
You just can't find a kicker that has a resume that can touch Tyler Bass. So
you'd have to wait until next year.
If I cloned Tyler Bass and put him on the free agent market, you would cut Tyler Bass and sign Tyler Bass clone and say, let's get this guy in here. He's the best kicker on the market.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Beautiful day today on the way. Highs in the upper 80s. T-storms maybe along the way, but, you know, passing. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. What did I have for you to mention quickly before we get to the break and then get to a very juicy, juicy players just voted on something? What did I have for you, Joe? What was it? Remind me.
Was it that Babe Ruth's jersey from the 32 World Series sold for $24 million? You get $24 million to drop on a baseball jersey.
Right. It's
some people.
That's
barely. The White Sox lost their 100th game.
Congratulations.
What else happened? Caitlin Clark got injured but then returned. I did my Locked On Sabres episode yesterday on the Lucic hit.
Interesting.
Just in the middle of the summer.
I saw a bunch
of... We were going team by team in the division. Like, got to the Bruins. Memories come up. What comes up with Bruins memories?
Yeah,
oh,
Lucic.
That time they stole the Sabres' soul. Yeah. And it hasn't been returned since.
Sabres had their Buffalo Sabres alumni golf tournament yesterday. Had the pleasure to play in that. See a bunch of Sabres alumni. And I was, you know, I'll give you one thought on Lindy Ruff coming back. Lindy was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, I've talked to a few former Sabres here and there. You know, what do you think of Lindy? What do you think of Lindy? And some of the players that have played for Lindy. And there's a very common thread.
Okay.
Which is, a lot of those guys, the players on the current team, say they want accountability. We're about to find out who really does. Like, there's a very much a careful what you wish for. You got Lindy Ruff, and
he's going to
it's going to be a different life for you. I think a lot of the former Sabres that played under Lindy, like, all right, we're going to find out who's all in and who's not. So, you know, Sabre season preseason.
36 days away.
They're going to Prague.
36 days from the opener. That's the regular season opener, not like the preseason.
And they're bringing up Philip Zadina for a tryout.
Yeah, that's a...
Former your ninth pick? He's a high pick.
Sixth,
okay. There you go. All right, when we get back, NFL players rank the top three quarterbacks and the three most overrated quarterbacks. And Joe's going to guess, why not? Both lists.
All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.